Just a few words, because the real homily, of course, is the passion itself and how it resonates, vibrates in our beings in different ways. Some years ago, I read, well, I actually heard it from my wife, Pat, actually, first, and then I read it in a commentary by the Franciscan spiritual writer, Father Richard Rohr. He does a daily meditation online, and he's our generation, my wife's generation, your generation. And his comment was, pain, he's talking about pain. Pain that is not transformed in our lives is transmitted to others, transmitted even more fully to ourselves if we're suffering the pain. Pain that is not transformed is transmitted. So, you know, the classical example there is we have a bad day at the office and things aren't going well for various reasons. We come home, and what do? Kick the dog or the cat, yell at whoever in the family is there, treat people very bad. We're transmitting our pain. They didn't do anything, but we're transmitting our pain because we have not figured out how to transform it. And so we can think of all sorts of examples. That's a trivial, well, it might not be a trivial example, but that's a common example. And we can just think of multitudes. We can think of that happening in our own personal lives, problems at home, problems in our employment, problems in our larger family, our relatives, whatever, problems with our kids, and we feel it, we don't know what to do with it, and so we end up inflicting more pain upon ourselves because we can't figure out productively how to deal with what's going on. And we don't want to, but we do. So we're not talking so much here about conscious choices a lot of time. And then we inflict more pain upon other people, and even the ones that we really desperately want to help, who may be causing our pain to start with because of their actions and behavior. We want to help them, and we end up inflicting even more pain upon them. It's one of these vicious cycles, and it goes on. And this goes on in our lives, personally and family-wise, but it also plays itself out. You know, it can happen in a church. People in a church congregation get ticked off at one another, unknowingly hurt one another, whatever. You know, the human drama plays out in the church, and then people end up talking about each other and gossiping and hurting each other. So again, pain's not fruitfully, not correctly dealt with, and then it ends up being transmitted. And it can contaminate a whole congregation. Many a church congregation has been ruined that way. And then it plays itself out in society. Why wouldn't it play it? It can play itself out in Poplar Springs and Mount Airy. You know, things like that can happen on a larger level, especially if you're somebody who has authority and power in the community. If you're a sheriff, or if you are the chief of police, or if you're the mayor, or you're an elected official, and again, you can go from the city, you know, to the state, to the nation. If you are a person of power and significance in the nation, and you have unresolved pain issues in your life, rejection issues, and hurt issues in your life, and if you haven't figured out or been helped to deal with that fruitfully, you're going to inflict that pain upon what? The city in various ways, upon the nation, upon the state, and it goes. Or between nations. So this is how it plays out. And we all know that. So we all wonder how it is that we are going to be able to stop this vicious cycle and instead of inflicting pain upon ourselves and others, transform it. And how can that possibly be? And so anyway, when I heard this comment from Father Richard Rohr, but actually first transmitted to me by my dear wife, because she was heard earlier in her own spiritual formation, I was very intrigued by it, and I thought, you know, that really would be a way of thinking about Jesus and what Jesus was doing for us. And obviously, if you think about the cross, Jesus on the cross, and we're celebrating Good Friday. And I remember, you know, once in the seminary, I used to be a seminary professor, and I once was talking to a bunch of the students, seminarians, and I said, well, today we're going to celebrate the Feast of Good Friday. And I remember one of the students, he happens to be a bishop now. He had a good sense of humor. He's a Roman Catholic bishop. And he had a good sense of humor. And he said, when I said Good Friday, he said to all of us, he said, Good Friday is Bad Friday. But it is Bad Friday in a way. Obviously, you see Jesus on the cross. That's pretty bad. But we insist on calling it Good Friday. So somehow that pain that Jesus is suffering on the cross was a pain that, yes, it was some the pain, the meanness, the hurtfulness that others had received and that they were experiencing and that they had not figured out how to deal with themselves. He became the scapegoat for them in that particular instance of his life, and they inflicted that pain upon him. They transmitted it. And so he suffered the same thing that a lot of us suffered. But we insist on saying that somehow in his experience of that, receiving that pain, he somehow not only suffered it, but he transformed it so that he would not transmit it to anybody else. And that's indeed a kind of a mysterious thing to think about, isn't it? How is it that his pain transmitted to him was able somehow, we believe, to be transformed so that he becomes a source of love and healing for all the rest of us. Now, there are theologians upon theologians upon theologians and gifted writers and thinkers, and probably the poets are the best who have meditated upon this mystery and, you know, tried to give us a sense of how that transformation happens. Because all of us here would probably like to say to ourselves, we have pain centers in our lives and kind of wounds in our lives. All of us do, if we're but honest with ourselves. And we would dearly love to figure out how we can stop transmitting the pain, if maybe not to somebody around us, but to ourselves. You know, we don't want to hurt and ache. And then, of course, let alone, so we do that with ourselves and then, you know, with others. And so we would love to figure this mystery out, I'm sure. And, you know, we have ulcers. And we medicate ourselves. We maybe drink a little bit too much or eat too much or whatever we do. I mean, because we're dealing with something and we're not dealing with it very well, but we do what we do. So we'd like to figure it out. Now, so part of the mystery of Good Friday is this pain that is not transformed is transmitted. And that's a way to think about the cross. But we need, there's a step two, it seems to me. There's another step in this that we need to think about. Yes, we want to start transforming the pain rather than transmit it. But how do we do that? Well, part of the thing is the Christian mystery, which is good news, which is why it's Good Friday and not just Bad Friday, is that we're not doing this by ourselves. We're not doing it by ourselves. And maybe we can't do it by ourselves. That there's another power at work within us. Another love force. The love force that came to consummate expression in Jesus, which is why we called him the Christ, the Anointed One. The one who takes upon himself for the rest of us. So that we can start reversing this vicious cycle of transmitting pain rather than transforming. Well, that's the challenge, I think, of Good Friday. To not fall into that trap of thinking that we're in this alone. Because if we think that we're up against this by ourselves, it'll probably defeat us. It'll probably wreck us. It'll probably break us. But we aren't in this alone. And sometimes I think, you know, just the feeling that, you know, if we were in this, you know, if evil in this kind of suffering, if that were meant to be what we're meant for, then we wouldn't, I sometimes think we wouldn't resist it so much and try to medicate ourselves or whatever else we do. The fact that we are uneasy with it, that's a sign that there's a power at work within us. And that power is telling us, you know, we have the ability to move beyond it, but not by ourselves. There's another force at work within us. Now, we're going now to move to the veneration of the cross, and we will remember. As we venerate the cross now, we're going to move to that. Well, actually, we're going to do the solemn collects first. And the solemn collects might seem a bit strange to you a little bit, but they have to do with this idea that the cross is a transformation, not a transmittal of more pain, but a transformation of it. So there's a kind of power that seeps out of the cross of transformation. And that's what these collects are for. They are a way in which we are saying, let this power of transformation sweep over us like a massage to our hurting bodies and our souls. These collects are proclaiming that, trust and belief in that. So we'll move to that. Then we'll do the veneration of the cross. And we venerate it, so we're not trying to wallow in the misery. We're not trying to run from the misery. We're seeing the misery, but we're also celebrating the power of transformation in the mystery. And then we will end with communion, because we're saying to ourselves, Christ, who was crucified, rose victoriously, and promises us the ability to do the same. He is with us, and he nourishes us now, even on this Good Friday. So page 17, the Solemn Collects. Dear people of God,